the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are once again here live on a Tuesday night. I am always pleasure to be accompanied by my Raw and Pancakes and Power Slam's correspondent, Derek.
I am here. I am live and in living color. This is Pancakes and Power Slams, everybody. This is the greatest night that you can have. Period. This is wrestling. We're going to talk about wrestling for the next hour and a half. Wrestling, wrestling, wrestling. It's awesome. It's great. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. 347-884-8452. Pancakes and Power Slams Blog Talk Radio. Let's keep things going. Follow Chris, WrestlingInc.com. We've got sponsorship going. We've got tons of things going. Let's drop your name. You want to be mentioned on Pancakes and Power Slams? You need to call us. You need to get to us in the chat room. You need to call us. Let's get this thing going tonight. What's going on, Chris?
Absolutely. And I looked at the numbers last week. We actually have the numbers are continuing to increase. And so I thank everyone so much for continuing to listen to the show. We are at episode number 88 episodes. So
WrestleMania 1988, what was the main event?
WrestleMania 88, that was WrestleMania 4. That was the tournament, the WWE Championship tournament that Randy Savage won.
Yes, against the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Actually,
yes.
Kind of the main event a lot of people saw was Hogan and Andre the Giant, but I believe that ended in a double count out.
Yeah.
Regardless, 1988 was a good year in wrestling.
It was, man. And we saw the Mega Powers, and then we saw the Mega Powers explode, that led to WrestleMania 5, 1989, Trump Tower, Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man Randy Savage for the WWE Championship. Because Randy Macho Man Savage here thought that Hulk Hogan was hot dogging and grand slamming. Yeah, he had his eyes on Elizabeth. Yeah, and
Elizabeth.
He had his eyes on Elizabeth. You were looking
at
my girl, Hulk Hogan. Yeah,
my girl got a cup of coffee.
it was good. I tell you what, man, Randy Savage. He has to be in the 2014 Hall of Fame. I was actually having a conversation with a few of my colleagues about this. Is, you know, there's rumors flying around as far as why Randy Savage is not in the Hall of Fame. You know, one of the biggest rumors involves Stephanie McMahon, and so I think that bygones be bygones. If you can let Bret Hart and you know, salvage, you know, whatever you had that was crazy with Bret Hart, to put him in the Hall of Fame, and just so much different, you know, so many different relationships that you had that was horrible. Ultimate Warrior is another one. You know, the guy sued you, Ultimate Warrior sued you, and now you have a relationship with Ultimate Warrior again. Brock Lesnar sued the WWE, and now he's back with the company. So, I mean, salvage the relationship and go on and put the guy in the Hall of Fame. And then another big talk going around is how when Savage wanted the whole family to be in the Hall of Fame, which, you know, including Leaping Lanny Poffo and his dad Angelo Poffo. And I tell you what, I would hope, and then Lanny Poffo, you know, has not given, and this is based on reports and things like this over the years, but maybe Lanny Poffo can tweet at Crave Wrestling and tell us the truth. But from what reports have been saying over the years, Lanny Poffo was kind of prohibiting that from happening because he wanted the whole family to be in the Hall of Fame based on Randy Savage's request. And I think there was actually a shoot interview that I saw probably a couple years back that confirmed that. But Lanny Poffo's not going to get in the Hall of Fame. He's not Hall of Fame worthy. He had two, I guess, very mildly relevant gimmicks in Leapy Lanny Poffo and The Genius. The Genius was it was good. He was a cool heel mid-carder at the time, very, you know, snobby and things like that. And when he was with Kurt Hennig, it was a plus, but that's definitely not a little bitty, you know, short-lived heel turn as The Genius. No, that's not going to put you in the Hall of Fame. And Angelo, I mean, he had his own territory, and he, you know, was wrestling the independents for a long time, but still, no, not Hall of Fame worthy. And so there's no doubt that they should be understanding that Randy Savage was the best person out of the Poffo family that made a name. He's one of the top five, in my opinion. I don't think there's much of an argument with that. With this, he's one of the top five greatest wrestlers that's ever stepped foot in a ring, as far as popularity, as far as just charisma, mic work, everything inclusive. One of the top five greatest professional wrestlers that's ever stepped foot in a ring.
Salvage for Savage. That should be our new motto. Salvage for Savage. You mentioned that. I
like it.
I like it, too. That's the new motto of Pancakes and Power Slams. And I agree. Yeah, The Genius was great. He always acted kind of light on his toes. Even as Leaping Lanny Poffo, Leaping. Okay. But Angelo Poffo back in the day, I mean, there's probably a lot of old-timers I would argue with you as far as Macho Man's charisma with Angelo Poffo, but I agree with you, Macho Man, top five, gotta be, just for the whole body of work that he did and that he's capable of. Rest his soul. God rest his soul. Rest in peace. Macho Man Randy Savage should be, oh, yeah, getting him a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
absolutely wonderful. And if you have the Macho Man DVD, you know what I'm talking about. He needs to be, I mean, obviously. I mean, I don't need to talk much about it. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. That's it.
Absolutely. And hopefully we'll get to see him in the 2014 Hall of Fame. We will have a Flavor of the Week coming up here soon as far as people. We had a thumbs up and down, but we're going to fine-tune it a little bit and create our own 2014 Hall of Fame as far as a headliner and other people who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame that aren't necessarily headliners. So we'll have that in the coming weeks. But as far as tonight is concerned, speaking of Flavor
tonight
of the Week.
Tonight is the night.
Yes, tonight is the night. We talk about the unification of the titles. The Flavor of the Week is, should the titles be unified? Derek and I will go further into that. Feel free to tweet. Feel free to call in live, 347-884-8452. Log into the chat room and let us know your thoughts as far as should the title be unified or not, and we'll go further into that. Be sure to check out cravewrestling@gmail.com for any of your thoughts, and if applicable, we will say them live on the show. As far as you, even if you have Flavor of the Week ideas, we'll give you credit for it. And of course, the Retro Wednesday tomorrow. I usually say this at the end of the show, and I say it with time running out. But Retro Wednesday on WrestlingInc.com. Last week, I wrote on DDP debuting in the WWE. That's what I wrote on DDP coming into the WWE, and when he was the Stalker. And the Stalker gimmick was actually pretty good for DDP.
Great.
And at that point, at that point in time, though, it was a really it's crazy that I would be labeled as writing for a dirt sheet. You know, a lot of the wrestling websites are called dirt sheets and things like that. As far as saying, you know, giving out spoilers and things of that nature and early reports. So I would be a dirt sheet writer in that, you know, context. But in 2001, you know, dirt sheets were still alive and active, and spoilers were still out, and early reports were still out. And as far as I remember, back in 2001, I was still looking at dirt sheets, so to speak. And I don't remember anything saying anything, any site saying anything about DDP being the person who was revealed as a Stalker. And at that time, you know, March of 2001, you had the buying out of WCW from Vince McMahon, the last episode of Nitro, and then June, around that time, you had those vignettes of Sarah being videotaped and things like that. And it was a good build-up. It was a really, really good build-up. And I remember when the song came on, the Undertaker's theme song came on at the time, and then the big reveal was, you know, who's going to be the Stalker, and he comes out with his mask on, or well, his, you know, he had like a kind of like a toboggan, you know, over his face, and it was a big deal.
Ski mask.
And then when ski mask is exactly what it was. Thank you for that. Ski mask. And when he took it off, I mean, it was shocking that it was DDP. But it was really, really good. It was a really good build up, but the thing is, they had an unsanctioned match at King of the Ring. I mean, that's all the only thing that this whole thing, weeks of vignettes, it just built up to a non-sanctioned match at King of the Ring that Taker won. And that's it. And then the Brothers of Destruction started feuding with DDP and Canyon over the tag team titles, and they had a cage match. Well, that's about it. I mean, so they really dropped the ball with DDP at that time, and they really could have built him up to be just as big of a name as any other main eventer at the time. But to me, I still think it was that I don't want anyone from WCW to really outshine the WWE bred guys at the time.
Exactly. I mean, that's a shame. When the WWF bought out WCW, I mean, they could have done so much more with that, and they didn't. I mean, they had Lance Storm. They had Shane Helms.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They had their times. They had their moments, but that was it. They didn't progress. They didn't build on their characters. It could have been a whole different WWE now than what it was a couple years ago when they bought, or I'm sorry, 10, 12 years ago when they bought WCW. They totally dropped the ball on that. It was horrible. They could have done so much more. Wrestling could have been so much different now if they just would have accepted the people coming in and just built on that. But like you said, it was just kind of, it was a whimper and then it died. And that was...
Yeah.
What happened?
I remember that first, and I think as we're talking now, I think I might even spoil the Retro Wednesday topic for tomorrow. I I don't think I'm not sure if I'll do this topic, but I'm almost positive that, oh man, that first match when they kind of did a hybrid between WCW on Raw and that first match, they actually had a main event of Booker T against Buff Bagwell. Oh my goodness, that match was just horrible.
Horrible.
It was so bad, and it's sad because Booker T is one of the best wrestlers. He's one of the top. I would say he's one of the top 10, top 15 best wrestlers.
Top 30
in the WWE. You said top 30.
I'm just kidding. No, I mean he's give him his due. He's awesome.
He's a really, really good wrestler. And as good of a wrestler as Booker T is, and you know, I'll give Buff his due. He's not a bad wrestler as well. But as good as they both are as wrestlers, oh, man. I mean, and they've wrestled before in the WCW, but that chemistry, I guess it may have been the jitters that they had, or it may have been a lack of planning. It could have been a bunch of, you know, bits and pieces of everything. But the whole thing was just so bad. And if I'm not mistaken, the commentators at the time were Scott Hudson and Arn Anderson, a commentating team that never happened in WCW.
Blur.
Those two never commentated together in WCW. As a matter of fact, Arn Anderson was not a commentator in WCW. At that time, they had Mark Madden, and they did have Scott Hudson. They had Mike Tenay, but Tenay was about to start up with TNA at the time, and so it just, oh my goodness, it was so bad. And I think I'm gonna write about it on my Retro Wednesday topic. Be sure if I forget about it, someone listening live or in the chat room or someone tweet me tomorrow, remind me or email at cravewrestling@gmail.com. Remind me of writing that topic. My day is usually very busy throughout the day, and I unless I listen to the show archives, I usually listen to the show usually a day or two after. Unless I listen to the show tomorrow, I don't know if I remember it or not. But I really hope that I remember writing about that. If I forget this week, I'll write about it in the coming weeks. But remember me. Remember that. Remind me, Crave Wrestling fans, remind me about that. I really want to write about the debacle of the Nitro, the Monday Nitro version, or the WCW version of Raw. That was just totally bad. Speaking of Raw, let's go into the Raw from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, with no JR, interestingly enough. No reference, nothing. Let's go to the first trivia question. What year was the, and Derek, you can't answer yet.
All right.
Wait to the chat room or the people.
All right,
in the
chat room.
Twitter,
let's go. Let's go, chat room. Let's go.
Yeah, or Facebook as well. If you'd like, the Crave Wrestling team has the Facebook page up. So if you'd like to comment on Facebook,
page,
we also yes, Facebook page like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. Those numbers are continuing to increase. We usually don't have the Facebook page up live, but we do have the Facebook page up live today. So if you'd like to comment on Facebook, be sure to do that as well. Facebook.com/CraveWrestling. And I think I might even, if I don't do it, I'll have someone on the administrative team do it. Go back to the quizzes, who was under the mask quizzes that we used to do back in the day. And I think it was pretty fun while it lasted. I think I put up a Jericho picture when Del Rio was Dos Caras. So that was back last spring when Taz was the Taz Maniac. Put one up on Hogan when he was Hulk Machine, when he was with the Machines. And then we had one of the Super Invader, which was Hercules. another one that was the Black Scorpion, which was Ric Flair, and then of course the Yellow Dog, who was the Yellow Dog, Derek? Quick trivia question.
That was Barry Windham.
No, not the Yellow Dog.
Oh, okay. It was Dusty Chuck Rhodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was Dusty
Rhodes.
It wasn't. He was the Midnight Rider. Yes. Brian Pillman.
Oh,
come on.
Whatever.
Brian Pillman.
Same thing.
Brian
crying Pillman. Out loud.
Yeah. Nice. Pretty funny comment in the chat room. Don't forget Juan Cena. When John Cena was. When he was out for a second, and there was the gimmick where he was gone, and he came back in some house shows as Juan Cena, that was quite interesting. I'm just happy that they didn't put that on actual TV. They just kind of relegated that to dark matches and house shows because that would have been just overkill. We already get enough of John Cena to see Juan Cena. So, again, what year was the first WWE champion crowned? What year was the first WWE champion crowned? Tweet at Crave Wrestling. Hey,
I didn't say the last part.
You can't do it. I know you're chomping at the bits, but you can't. And chat room tweet. Let's go. Raw. CM Punk in-ring promo interrupted by Stephanie McMahon, who brings out Kane. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Kane. Then the Shield appears and stopped by Stephanie McMahon. And that was just a really kind of corny part there. Eventually, we find out that CM Punk will be going against the Shield at TLC, and to me, this just reeked of 1965 is an answer that we have so far. No, not 1965.
Negative.
That is incorrect, but so close. So close. Oh, so close. Nope, you can't answer yet. But to me, the CM Punk and against the Shield. Well, first of all, let me comment about Kane. Poor Kane. That guy was just he just looks a mess. It's so bad that with this. Director of operations and just ridiculousness that he's doing now. He doesn't even seem like he cares about his position. I know that it's kayfabe, but I know you got to play into the position. You got to play your character and things of that nature. But I tell you this though, it doesn't even seem as if Kane really cares. Good job, 1963 on the chat room. It doesn't. And who had it? Who had it? Real quick. Boom, boom, boom. Quick. Had it. Who had it?
Buddy Rogers.
Yeah, there you go. Night's your boy, Buddy Rogers. Absolutely. Great job. But it doesn't even seem as if Kane even cares about his position. He just seems so humdrum and just really kind of down, and at least he can have the appearance of enjoying his, his character, but he doesn't even make it interesting at all. We see Kane, he grabs a mic, and he seems like, oh, okay, here we go, another week of being this character. This is paying the bills, and this is taking care of my wife and kids, and I just really hate my position right now. So I can't do it, man. I can't hang with the Kane of now. I know that you said a few episodes ago to hold on, to just have some patience, and okay, I gave that some time, but it's been it's been, what, about three or four weeks now since Kane took the mask off and he's the director of operations. There has to be a payoff. There has to be a payoff with this, because otherwise Kane will go in the Hall of Fame as the director of operations, looking like a Isaac Yankum 18 years later, just with less hair and aging.
Now, this is a good – I understand what Kane's doing. I don't have a big problem with it.
And only you understand what Kane's doing. Nobody else does.
What Kane's doing is he's been there for so long now. He's been there, what, almost 20 years. I want to say at least 14, 15 years.
Hell in a Cell. Well, it was Bad Blood. It was a Hell in a Cell match. Bad Blood. Michaels and Taker, 1997. So 16 years as Kane, but 18 years with the business. He came in as Isaac Yankum in 95.
Isaac Yankum. SummerSlam 95, no one cares. Anyway, I believe that Kane will have redemption. He will show his true colors. Kane, he's a gimmick. I mean, he's an awesome gimmick. I mean, if you were to ask you or me, you're like, Kane, oh my good Lord, Kane is a WWE. He's been there for so long now. So I believe what Kane's doing right now, I mean, he's going to do it for a while just because it's sparked his character, but Kane goes deeper than that. You and I know it. We'll forgive him. We'll know he's doing it. Something's going to happen to where it's just going to totally trash McMahon, Triple H, and Kane will have the last laugh.
Absolutely. I hope so.
Kane.
I hope there's a payoff. Had one of our Crave Wrestling administrators talking about there's a comment that says Crave versus Fallout versus We Are Wrestling, and that would be Crave Administrator says that would be better than Cena and Orton. Special shout out to We Are Wrestling as well. They are very big fans of Crave Wrestling and Pancakes and Power Slams, and they have a link of the show on their website. And check out their website, definitely developing, getting better and better. A fledgling company that's just growing just meteorically, and it's just a lot of fun, and we're just going to continue to support We Are Wrestling as they just out of the kindness of their heart and being fans of the show and being fans of my writing and Wrestling Inc. just really gave me some love, so I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate the fact that we have people like that and just supporting. I get emails all the time. CraveWrestling@gmail.com. People wanted me to be in their books and co-hosting with their shows and things of that nature. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to do most of that, but I'll continue to open up time to see what I can do to do that. And there was actually a guy that's another person who's building a website that's from the Bleacher Report, and he wanted me and a couple other feature columnists from the Bleacher Report to be roundtable people on Monday nights, and I just didn't have it in my schedule. But I will open it up It will happen very soon. I will be on the roundtable, and I'll have some fun because I can talk wrestling all the time. As you can see, 88 episodes of Pancakes and Power Slams. We're going to continue to have some fun. Next trivia question. What were the Rockers known as in the AWA?
Oh, they were known as the...
Oh, goodness. This guy.
I'm not going to say it. Not yet.
What were the Rockers known as in the AWA? And it's back. Let's go real quick. Let's go back to the Shield versus CM Punk at TLC. To me, it's very poor booking. Again, the Kane payoff. Let's hope there's a payoff with Kane. Let's really hope there's a payoff with Kane with WrestleMania 30. Because then, of course, it's not going to be at the Royal Rumble. He's not going to win the Royal Rumble, or he's not going to turn on the Authority that early. But hopefully we'll see something with the Royal Rumble with Kane. We have to. He deserves it. He's been busting his butt for the company for so long, and we need that Kane moment at WrestleMania 30. But as far as CM Punk and the Shield is concerned, to me, it's poor booking. It's a lack of creativity to me to do this, because I think that they're kind of, and I think we had a comment here in the chat room that talks about it. Great job, chat room. The Midnight Rockers is the correct answer. And I don't want to see CM Punk to kind of develop into this Super Cena type character. We don't need that. He goes against the grain. He's anti-authority. He's like a tamed version of Steve Austin, as far as being anti-authority, and people like that. People like to rebel against the authority. They like that type of person. That's the only reason why the Big Show is getting any type of pops. For one, he's just yanking away. And he's just enervating and just leeching on Daniel Bryan's yes chance. Took his main event spot, had a horrible, I think it was like a little over, a tad bit over 10-minute match against Randy Orton at Survivor Series, probably one of the worst main events of the year. And he has a concussion angle, which gets dropped. And then he just has a regular match on Raw, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's really unfortunate that we are seeing the Big Show take Daniel Bryan's spot. It's ridiculous that's happening. But hopefully I'll be okay. Daniel Bryan needs to get back in the fold. He needs to kind of reform himself. He needs to kind of reinvigorate himself back into the title, or just becoming really a main event player, because they had something so good with Daniel Bryan leading into SummerSlam, and he had really no opportunity at all to become a legitimate player, a legitimate main event player. So I just don't think that CM Punk, him with the Wyatts is necessary, although I think it's just a mismatch. I think it's just poor booking. I mean, you have two handicap matches at TLC. I mean, to me, that just reeks of a Raw or a SmackDown episode. I don't see any type of relevance in that whatsoever. And plus, you're building it for a pay-per-view. And the thing is, TLC is supposed to set up the new year. It's supposed to kind of be the beginning of the reset for, you know, the road to WrestleMania, just kind of like a prelude to the road to WrestleMania, because, I guess in essence, the road to WrestleMania it starts at the Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble creates a reset as far as the road to WrestleMania is concerned. But TLC should bring that type of excitement, that type of anticipation, at least to the Royal Rumble, to lead into the road to WrestleMania. So CM Punk and The Shield, I'll pass on that as far as being excited about it. Now, hopefully CM Punk does not beat The Shield. I mean, that would just be totally deflating of the push that The Shield has gotten. I mean, the thing is, they weren't even, they started to become kind of roller coaster and weren't that relevant for a while. And then they really, I guess after the authority, when the authority angle came in, they really started to become relevant again. And I guess, since the authority angle, they've increased. They definitely increased in popularity, and they and they're doing good. The you know, Roman Reigns being the sole survivor at Survivor Series, that really, really, really helped. And they really should ride on the momentum of Roman Reigns. I mean, they really, really should. And I was really, really wishing that we would see Roman Reigns have his moment at TLC. Now, I would have been much more satisfied with a Roman Reigns and Rey Mysterio match, or a Roman Reigns and CM Punk match. That would have been much better to me, because at this point, Roman Reigns getting the rub and getting some type of win would be much more beneficial than CM Punk getting a win. And I really hope, I just really hope that CM Punk doesn't somehow manage to win the entire handicap match between them and the Shield. We'll go on forward. We got Derek was on location and he dropped off, and we're going to do our best to get him back on the line here. Next question is, what WWE, and this is really easy, this is more of an icebreaker question than anything, what WWE superstar is known as Superfly? And Derek, do not answer. We got him back here. Derek, do not answer the question. What WWE Hall of Famer is known as Superfly? So as we were saying, the discussion was, CM Punk against the Shield at TLC, I'm not interested. I really hope that CM Punk does not beat the Shield, because that would take away a ton of momentum.
It'll take away so much from the Shield. Glad to be back. Of course it would. Why was CM Punk going to go 1-on-3 against the Shield? That's a no-brainer. There's no way that he is going to prevail. If he does, it's going to be a fluke, and it's just going to do nothing but bury the Shield from the momentum that they have going. Absolute disgusting. If this is a TLC highlight, do not participate. Again, CM Punk against the Shield. You know, the Shield have a lot of things going for them right now, and if they all lose, three of them lose to CM Punk, I don't even know why I'm talking about this right now, because it's just absolutely horrible. There's no way it can't be, and if it happens, then disgusted. Chris,
yeah,
back to you.
I definitely understand. No benefit at all in CM Punk winning that match. Next, we go to Damian Sandow against Dolph Ziggler. We do got the correct answer in the chat room. Jimmy Snuka is the correct answer.
Easy. That was easy. Come on, Chris. You got better than
that. It was very easy. I understand. Superfly, Jimmy Snuka. That should have been the icebreaker question, but you know, sometimes you got to make someone, got to build up their ego when it comes to wrestling. So, next question is, what program did Jake Roberts DDT Ricky Steamboat, and what year was it? What program did Jake Roberts DDT Ricky Steamboat on the concrete, and what program was it?
All right, well,
what
it
program
was,
did it air on?
I can't answer it.
Yeah, of course you can't answer it. Chat room or tweet live at Crave Wrestling, or call in live at 347-884-8452. Let us know your Raw thoughts. Again, next week, go to Damian Sandow defeating Dolph Ziggler for the number one contender IC title match at TLC. I am totally in favor of Damian Sandow versus Big E Langston. However, one of the live tweets that I had during Raw, my personal Twitter handle is at Chris Prolific, if anyone is interested. I did a live tweet at during Raw, and after the Ziggler and Sandow match, I said, "Poor at heel Ziggler, he couldn't even get the no contest that leads to a triple threat match rub. And that's exactly what I felt about that. And because usually when you have those number one contenders matches, you have like the some type of no contest that leads to a triple threat or a four-way of some sort. And Ziggler couldn't even get that much. I mean, they really are not caring so much about Ziggler right now that, yeah, he got one win, whatever that's Nashville, whatever that hardcore match was that they had. But Ziggler is just
Nashville.
Getting no love at all. And now, you know, he couldn't even be a part of the – he couldn't even be in a triple threat match at TLC for the Intercontinental title. And instead, he loses against Sandow, no love on the pay-per-view, and now he's going to have to be watching – the pay-per-view with his other Spirit Squad colleagues.
Spirit Squad colleagues. Yeah, I mean, it was Ziggler versus Sandow. There's a lot that they can do with Sandow. I don't think they're going to do it lately. More lately than not. Of course, I'm happy for Ziggler. Yeah, I mean, he's the, what's the nickname they give him? The primetime
the show stealer.
Yeah. No, the show stopper was Shawn Michaels. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
Ziggler and Sandow. The winner got an IC shot. That's great. I mean, I'm happy for that. I want them to keep the Intercontinental Championship. What they're going to do with the championship, World Championship, and the WWE Championship, unify it. Yeah, that's great. I'm not a huge fan of that, but I can see
we'll
it
talk
working.
About that more in Flavor of the Week.
We'll talk about it more. Let's go next to Brian and Eric Rowan. I got to say one thing about that. My Jerry Lawler quote of the week. Jerry Lawler said, living in the van down by the river.
Yes, and we'll get
who
to
didn't
Matt Foley.
That?
we'll get more to
question.
Yes. Who?
What character?
Who coined,
there was an actor who said that, but what character said that?
Yes. Who coined the phrase "living in a van down by the river"? But eating government cheese. Yeah, that's he also said that. A good call during the chat room.
Is that Bill Shakespeare?
I'm excited to do my this person impersonations because he was my favorite character on this show. I don't want to give it away too much, but knowing Derek, our Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent, he would definitely just totally skip over the six diva tag team match they had between the Bellas and Natalya.
Oh yeah. The Divas. I forgot about that. But anyway, Jerry Lawler had a quote.
Anyway,
the Jerry Lawler quote of Pancakes and Power Slams.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get slightly into almost. I look at the chat room now. Almost SNL and some kind of a motivational speaker. That's almost right. We'll kind of give you that. But we'll say the answer. Yes, we're looking for a name, and we'll say the answer after the commentary on the after the recap of the Six Diva Tag Team match, which was weird because AJ is starting to get more face pops as of late, especially after the whole scheduled match against Vicky Guerrero, which again I don't quite understand that happened a few weeks back, two or three weeks back when. They both were punished when Maddox went against Orton and then Vicky Guerrero went against AJ. And Vicky Guerrero is one of the biggest heels and probably still the biggest heel in the company. And you have a heel Divas champion that you want to keep heel go against Vicky Guerrero, who is more of a heel than any person in the company. That was bad booking. And then she goes around and skips during the match, you know, and just kind of shows absolutely no care about Summer Rae and Tamina Snuka. And that garnered more face pops. And then she comes in, and then she eventually gets rolled up by Natalya. It was just really poor booking. And I really, really hope, I really hope that we see something a lot more that comes out of this Divas division. I'm happy that Natalya is getting some love. I'm happy. Finally, it's been over 3 years since she's won the Divas championship. But I really hope that we see more of Natalya, because they need to just drop that title from AJ. I mean, AJ was really – she was really important last year, so important they gave her a daggone GM spot, which was another flop by WWE. But now just – not really relevant at all to me. She is underneath the Total Divas cast. That goes to show how the Divas Championship is. The Total Divas cast, Eva Marie is more important than AJ right now. And Eva Marie, and I still say this, Eva Marie, in my opinion, doesn't care a lick about professional wrestling. She wants to, you know, she's using this and milking it till it's dry to get maximum shots and acting roles and things of that nature. But you can tell that there's not much interest. But she's even more important than AJ right now.
AJ right now, she, to me, she's still the most impressive diva. I mean, like you said, not the divas, yeah, they're E-channel show is garbage. It's disgusting. I don't see the divas. I don't see pretty much any of them really wanting to carry on the wrestling name. They're just looking for a spot. They're looking for Maxim. They're looking for whatever Gentleman magazine that will pick them up. So I just, AJ still seems prevalent as far as what she can do in the ring and what she can act outside of the ring. But it's not... It's garbage. I've said it for weeks. I've refused to talk about the Divas Championship for a long time because it just doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't matter to a lot of wrestling fans. If you disagree with me, 347-848-452, the Divas division, what about it? Is it going to get any better? Is it going to get worse? I don't see how it could get better.
Maybe with Natalya winning the match or winning the title soon, it'll get better. Maybe we'll see actual wrestling matches matter in the Divas division.
Maybe.
But
probably not.
Hopefully we'll see that soon. But the chat room did get the answer right. So with that being said, I am Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. I'm 35 years old. I am thrice divorced, and I live in a land down by the river. There's your Matt Foley impersonation. Matt Foley is the correct answer, and Jerry the King Lawler
Next trivia question. Name three actors that were on the same skit.
Do I get to answer that?
You can answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, you can answer it.
One, Phil Hartman. Two,
yep.
David Spade. And three, Christina Applegate.
Was that not something? That was awesome. Chris Featherstone loves
there
his wrestling, and he loves his Chris Farley.
Yes, Chris Farley. Matt Foley. Hey, Dad. Will Lottie freaking die? Hey, Dad, I don't know. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there? Yeah, one thing that people don't know about me is I am a huge Saturday Night Live buff from probably about 1989 to about 1997. I can tell you any episode of Saturday Night Live. I was a huge Saturday Night Live fan, and my favorite actor of all time is Chris Farley. I've seen
and that shows you that Chris Featherstone had nothing better to do during the 90s on a Saturday night.
Then watch WCW Saturday Night and then
gross.
And then Saturday Night Live. And then occasionally
main event is what was that dude, Ice Cube or somebody that
Ice Train.
Probably
Ice Train. Yeah, yeah. WCW Saturday Night became such a horrible show after a while. It was just like, I mean, talk about your C-rated show. It would be like Mark Starr versus like Chris Canyon, you know, and you know, sadly,
it was like,
you know,
it was like TNA.
No, it was.
Did I just
TNA
say that? I'm sorry.
TNA is a better, much better product than WCW Saturday Night was, and our condolences go to Chris Canyon. We're bringing some levity in the matter, but unfortunately, people do know that. I don't know if many people know, but unfortunately, Chris Canyon did commit suicide. I think it was a year or two ago. But you know, hey, at least he'll get some recognition here on the Pancakes and Power Slam show. And at least, and he was, and he was a good wrestler too. He was one of the most innovative wrestlers that's the pro wrestling.
Who's better than Canyon? I'll
who's
take you
better,
better Stone Cold.
Canyon? Yeah, that was really, really funny. That his Canyon cutters and his mockery of Diamond Dallas Page was really, really funny. And I remember even one time he even dyed his hair blonde to really mock Diamond Dallas Page. And the whole Who Better Than Canyon angle was really funny because there would be random moments on Nitro that he would just get people in the diamond cutter. I remember one time they would do, you know how they show where you had, you know, where what arena they're at, and they'll kind of do a view of in front of the arena and surrounding the arena. I remember one time they were in a city, and it was hilarious because they were showing a view of the arena, and in the bottom corner of the TV, you saw Canyon just Canyon cutting some random person on the street. It was absolutely so funny. It was so funny, and I cracked up, and that was one of his that was one of his defining moments as a person in the WCW. And, of course, he was tag team champions with DDP as well in the Jersey Triad. So, yeah, kudos to him. But at that time, what I'm talking about as far as WCW Saturday Night, he was just a total nobody. And I think it was like Men at Work, if I'm not mistaken, that he had a tag team with Mark Starr. And just the random jobbers that would have. Remember Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker and from the WCW Power Plant, and you know that was really his moment as far as that was like his show. In many cases, Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker from the Power Plant, and so yeah, it was really interesting, the WCW Saturday Night towards the latter days of the show. It was horrible. But next we'll go to a trivia question. What year did Mark Henry debut in the WWE? What year did Mark Henry debut in the WWE? Next week it's Daniel Bryan versus Eric Rowan. I mean, it was an interesting dynamic as far as them having beards and them kind of teasing. JBL teased a lot on that match as far as Daniel Bryan possibly, you know, being a member of the Wyatt family. And Eric Rowan, he definitely showed some skill. I mean, because he's been kind of, to me, he's been wrestling a bit stiff since his debut, and you know I'm not really impressed with his work, but at least you know it showed. It was a nice little dynamic between the two, and Eric Rowan definitely deserved to lose that match because I'm not sold on his work for sure. But it was a good way to it was a good way to kind of create a resurgence for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it was a good way. Resurgent for Daniel Bryan. Bless me. It was, I remember when Daniel Bryan used to be in the hunt for the title. What happened to that? So now he's been demoted and he's going against Eric Rowan. For crying out loud, are you serious? It was okay. It was a decent match. I'm not sold on Eric Rowan. I'm not sold on the Wyatt family anymore. I was back in the day, maybe 3-4 months ago. Doesn't really have too much relevance anymore. And I'm just going to say that, yeah. What have you got for us, Chris?
1996 is the correct answer as far as Mark Henry's debut. The next question is, what Royal Rumble is the only Royal Rumble to feature the winner becoming the World Heavyweight Champion, or the WWE World Heavyweight Champion at the time? Only one year allowed that to happen. It was due to a vacancy from President Jack Tunney.
Jack Tunney. Where's Jack Tunney today? What happened to him?
I think he's passed. I think he passed away. Jack Tunney passed away. Yeah, he passed away. I think it was like the early 2000s he passed away. 2004. He passed in 2004 at the age of 68 years old.
Now, when was he released from WWE? What year was Jack Tunney released from WWE? That's the next trivia question.
Let go in 95, I think it was.
Really? Could be.
Yeah, I think it was 95. President Jack Tunney. He was kind of an annoying voice.
Jack Tunney's not the same person.
Yeah, he had a bit of an annoying voice. But I tell you what, though, the whole president from in the office, you know, making the executive decisions, that was so cool back in the day, though. That just showed like a really cool position of power. And Jack Tunney was like the man back in the day. He always was in his desk, on his desk, like he was like, you know, creating some type of press release or something like that, or just got off the phone with the phone call with the president. And
I had his action figure.
You have Jack Tunney's action figure?
No, there's. I don't think there's ever one.
No. Jack Tunney had an action figure. How in the world can I miss out on that? I want a Jack Tunney action figure, and I'm sure that would be like a market hot ticket item on eBay. If I had a Tunney action figure, that would be absolutely wonderful. But I don't think he had one though, and that's
no, he didn't. If you wanted one, that'd be pretty sad.
Yeah. President Jack Tunney. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Very cool. But next we have R-Truth and Xavier Woods against Tons of Funk. We saw some dissension between – some further dissension. We saw some on SmackDown initially. Xavier Woods took the Tons of Funk theme song with the Funkadactyls, and then – Brodus on SmackDown shoved Xavier Woods in the locker room, and then that led to a tag team match on SmackDown, which Tons of Funk defeated R-Truth and Xavier Woods, and that usually does not happen. Tons of Funk winning a match, that was really weird that the Tons of Funk actually won a match. But the rematch happened on Raw, and R-Truth and Xavier Woods won. So I'm actually okay with this. I think it's a good idea. It's much better than what we would see Tons of Funk, you know, being any other time, because they would probably be losing the match to the Real Americans or, the Shield or anyone or – Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, they'll be losing a match to one of those heel tag teams. So Brodus Clay with a bit of an edge now. They're teasing a heel turn. I like what I see. It looks like Tensai is just kind of it's like Tensai is kind of being the buffer between Brodus and Xavier Woods. And I tell you what, it's a much better position that it's a much better position that they're in now than they could have been just regularly, because they'll probably be losing the match. And so now they finally get some type of exposure. Brodus Clay's got a bit of an edge, and he's kind of playing a cocky babyface that's leaning towards a heel turn, and it's needed for Brodus Clay. Honestly, I don't see a monster heel winning a bunch of matches, you know, pulling over Kishi from back in 2000. I did it for The Rock. Like, he's not going to be that type of – he's not going to make that type of heel turn, but at least he'll have some more exposure than what he did previously before his potential heel turn.
You got our truth and – Xavier Woods, I understand what you're talking about. What'd they call Tensai last night? Sweet Tea? That's his new name.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Doggone it. But, with Brodus Clay, he's got some things that can go with what he's got. I don't think the WWE, he's never going to be title status. So, do what you can with him. Do what you can with Xavier Woods. Good for Xavier Woods. I mean, that's great that he got the pinfall last night, but I don't really see it falling too much more than that. And as far as Tons of Funk, Sweet Tea. Let's go.
Interesting quote. An interesting comment from the chat room. Can you see it? Fear the Funkosaurus. No, I can't see that. But I tell you what would be funny, though. If he did play the kind of a cocky heel and had that slogan just like as some type of comedy type of slogan just to kind of build his ego, I think that'll work. That would be pretty funny. But Somebody Call My Mama, that theme song, as much as it's cool, as much as it's as much as the kids love it, Brodus needs to get rid of that theme song if he really wants to make the turn that he, you know, that's being projected right now. He needs to get rid of that song, and I definitely think I totally agree with the chat room comment here. It says, "I hate that new getup he was wearing last night." Oh, man, that was absolutely horrible. He has, like, rhinoceros spikes or whatever. I have absolutely no clue what the heck that was. It was, like, some type of winged spikes, rhinoceros-looking. It was just really, really bad. He had it on SmackDown, too. And I remember when I saw it... I remember I saw it on SmackDown. I was like, "What in the world is this?" It was horrible. And I think, I don't know if it's a rib. It has to be some type of rib, because somehow it's not enhancing anything. It really, really seems like a rib to what they're trying to do with Brodus Clay. The interesting comment, he made it himself. Yeah, that's very true. It seems like he made it himself and just kind of scrapped some stuff from the garbage can and glued and stapled some stuff together, and that's what you get. I mean, even with Tensai, though, even his gear is normal. He's just got a regular normal singlet, but I mean, Brodus Clay, he couldn't even look like his fellow teammate in gear. I mean, they had the same gear for a little moment, but I don't see how Brodus Clay thinks that he can get away with wearing something that bad. But we've already said too much about them. Sin Cara against Alberto Del Rio. Now, this is the interesting part about Sin Cara. The real Sin Cara And one of my colleagues called it last on Monday night on Raw. We reported it on WrestlingInc.com. The real Sin Cara, actually, who used to be Mystico, the real Sin Cara actually commented. He actually tweeted, and it showed the location of where he tweeted. It was actually from Mexico, and so the real Sin Cara wasn't even he wasn't even around. In wrestling, he wasn't even around, and even in the States, when Mystico or when Hunico actually was the person who was under the mask. Hunico usually does the Sin Cara work when the real Sin Cara is not around, and Sin Cara, and it was the Sin Cara versus Sin Cara feud. It was Sin Cara Azul versus Sin Cara Negro, and Hunico was Sin Cara Negro. But and basically, we also reported that, I mean, the time is ticking as far as the real Sin Cara being released. But I think time is ticking even more now because of Hunico's tattoo now. He has that big old eagle-looking tattoo on his shoulder. So there's no type of, you know, there's no type of similarity. There's no type of blur. There's a huge distinction now. And what made it even more surprising is that Sin Cara won cleanly. He beat Alberto Del Rio, former world heavyweight and WWE champion, cleanly. So clearly they're trying to build something up between him and Rey Mysterio. And I really hope that they do a mask versus career match at WrestleMania 30 between Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio. Sin Cara defeats Rey Mysterio, and that's Rey Mysterio's send-off.
Yay, that would be awesome. That's Rey Mysterio's send-off. Finally, somebody, get rid of that guy. Remember, you got Sin Cara? He beat Del Rio last night cleanly. I mean, Del Rio almost looked like the Tennessee Titans. Sin Cara, that was a great thing for him to do. And if there is a match, which I think that they're building towards that between him and Rey Mysterio, where does that leave Del Rio? It leaves him absolutely nowhere.
No, you know, he doesn't deserve to be anywhere either.
He doesn't. So, I mean, when he lost, Ricardo Rodriguez. Yes. I mean, he's got nothing. Del Rio is done, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if he makes a comeback, that's great. But the match last night on Monday Night Raw just centered on Sin Cara. Well, let's keep that ball rolling. Not for the Tennessee Titans, but let's keep the ball rolling for Sin Cara.
Yeah, let's keep the ball rolling for the Tennessee Titans as well.
Yeah.
Although they lost against Indianapolis, and again another fourth quarter debacle from the Tennessee Titans. Fortunately, they were down the fourth quarter last week against Oakland, and they came back and won. But that's only
Oakland. Woo!
Yeah, and Oakland is not good either. So, but back to the subject at hand. Del Rio doesn't need and interesting. There was a comment that I saw somewhere. I think it was either today or yesterday. That says, I have to confirm this, and anybody in the chat room or listening live, tweet at Crave Wrestling to confirm this. But Del Rio, according to this comment, Alberto Del Rio has been in every World Heavyweight Championship match this year. So that would be a pretty interesting interesting observation to confirm. Let's think about it. Well, you know what? What's crazy is that Del Rio won the title. Yeah, wow. I think that's correct, because Del Rio won the title back in January from the Big Show. That's when he had his little face turn. And then he had it until the day after Mania, when he beat Jack Swagger at Mania, lost against Dolph Ziggler the day after Mania, and then he feuded with Dolph Ziggler for a little bit, and he went against Dolph Ziggler for the World Heavyweight Championship, and then he beat Ziggler like a month later. And he kept it until Hell in a Cell. Wow. Yeah, that's horrible. that's really, really, really bad that Del Rio has been involved. That, I guess that goes to show how bad and how low the World Heavyweight Championship picture is, because that was just absolutely horrible for Del Rio to be a part of every single World Heavyweight Championship match, except for this month. That's just horrible. Next, we have Shield defeating the Big Show, Goldust, and Cody Rhodes. That was a good match. Cody Rhodes and Goldust, I still say that they're two of the most popular people right now, as far as the hottest commodities right now in the entire company. Good build for the Shield. They need it. They don't need to lose any momentum going into whatever they choose to do with them and CM Punk.
No, they don't. Team Rhodes was awesome. I mean, that was probably the best match of Monday Night Raw, if you ask me. And with them with the Big Show against the Shield, I mean, his chops on the chest was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And let's give it to the Shield. I mean, there's two different factions here, and they both have everything going for them. So let's keep the momentum going. For Team Rhodes, I love to see Goldust. I love to see Cody Rhodes together. And I also love just to see the Shield be who the Shield is, what's going to be the Shield in the next couple months has yet to be determined. So let's keep the ball rolling. Absolutely
yeah.
Wonderful. I love to see Goldust. I mean, he is the man. He is to be somebody that came from the late 80s, early 90s, and to still just totally make the show, that is Goldust. My hat's off to him.
I totally agree. 44 years old, and he's in the best shape of his life, and he really got his second chance. And you can tell that Goldust is just savoring every single moment of his latest run with the WWE. I mean, just getting released a couple of years ago. Many reports said that he was basically a agent in the back when he came back in the Royal Rumble. He did some agent work in the back, and there's reports saying that he was let go because he called a spot. I think it was the Primetime Players against. I think it was either Primo and Nepico or I don't remember exactly. I think it was Primo and Nepico. I'm almost positive it was Primo and Nepico they had. They were going against Primetime Players, and there was a really, really bad spot that was called by Goldust. And again, this is just reports. And that's one of the reasons why he was let go, and so it's unfortunate that he was let go, but at the same time it just made him stronger, you know, it just really made him stronger, and you can tell that Goldust has always been a very fluid and a very great wrestler, and this is some of his best work that we've ever seen by far. Next, we have Ryback. We're short on time here. Next, we have Ryback and Curtis Axel defeating Kofi Kingston and The Miz. I mean, that doesn't really do much. Maybe they'll build Ryback and Curtis Axel as a team. That's really the best thing they have right now. Mark Henry defeating Fandango. Your boy lost. Real American defeating the... No. No, he's an afterthought. Real Americans defeating the Primetime Players. Good for the Real Americans as well, because they need to build some momentum, because there's some talks that Hulk Hogan may be teaming up with John Cena at WrestleMania 30. And I was tweeting with a good friend today, talking about Hogan's spot, and we were talking about how Real Americans should get the rub, and that would be very awesome for them, win or lose, which they won't win the match. But even if they lost, though, the Real Americans actually got a spot with the two biggest names of the past 30 years, you know, John Cena and Hulk Hogan. So that's a big deal. So kudos for the Real Americans. And then finally we have John Cena and Randy Orton contract signing. I mean, it was. I made a comment on Twitter on Monday. Retweet if we're going to see another contract signing fight, and that's exactly what happened. So I didn't have any type of. I didn't really care about the contract signing. It just, again, it was just a failed attempt to build the match, and which to me will have a screwy finish. We won't see a unification at a minor pay per view. I'm just not buying it.
Yeah, I'm not buying it either. It took up, what, the last 10 minutes of Monday Night Raw?
And yeah.
For crying out loud, it was good. It was okay. It built to what's going to happen at the tables, ladders, and chairs, but it doesn't really, as far as the Monday Night Raw, I wasn't that interested in it. Yeah, it happened. John Cena, RKO, and they wrestled so many times together. This is going to be a unification match, so it's a little more important. But I wish I cared more about something like this. I wish I had more interest and more invested in this exchange of what could happen at TLC. But I don't,
yeah.
So that's the way it is.
Yeah, we'll talk about should they be unified here very soon here. We've got about 10 minutes left. We've been on air for over an hour and 15 minutes and no Jim Cornette reference. So there's the Jim Cornette reference for the evening, running joke, Jim Cornette. And Derek made a Dusty Rhodes reference as well. So for those who are new to listening to the Pancake
Jim Cornette's
Power
the
Slam
greatest
show,
thing ever happened to wrestling.
He's not, and he's
yes,
not
he
true.
Is. You want to talk about me? You want to talk about 80s wrestling? I'll take you to 80s wrestling.
We'll talk about. We had a flavor of the week about 80s wrestling probably a couple months ago. We'll keep it there. It was a really good flavor of the week. For those who check, as a matter of fact, subscribe to Pancakes and Power Slams on iTunes and check out the archives. It shows in the description of what the flavor of the weeks are. So scroll through the episodes and you'll see 80s wrestling, and that was the flavor of the week. It was a really, really good flavor of the week, and we'll have a recap show of the flavor of the weeks at the New Year's edition, and that would be really, really, really fun. But it was a really good one. But for those who are new to listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam show, we have, for the past few weeks, we have a running joke. And I don't know how long it'll last, maybe another few weeks or so. We have a running joke of acknowledging Jim Cornette and Dusty Rhodes in every show. So somehow it'll you know, worm
Chris
its way
loves
through.
Dusty. I love
yes.
Jim Cornette.
That's exactly right. Derek is a big fan of Jim Cornette. He did some work with him when he was wrestling in the indies, and I'm a big fan of Dusty Rhodes, because Dusty Rhodes is getting funky like a monkey, live and in living color, if you will.
Yes. That was
ladies
cool in 1987.
That's,
for the record. Right.
Dusty Rhodes will continue to be one of the best ever.
Dusty Rhodes.
He's just a common man working hard for the man. You know, that's exactly right. Working hard with his hands. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, the trivia question. I haven't seen the correct answer yet. What is the only Royal Rumble to feature the winner becoming WWE champion? What year was that Royal Rumble. All right, real quick, just a few minutes. SmackDown, we saw Los Matadores and El Torito have a match. Curtis Axel loses again. Xavier Woods, like I said, Xavier Woods and R-Truth losing to Tons of Funk. It was a Thanksgiving episode, so they had a food eating contest with Titus O'Neil and the Great Khali. And then
that was great.
And it was funny. It was really funny. Titus O'Neil had to go against Cesaro. He got Cesaro swung, and it made him throw up on everybody. Cody Rhodes and Goldust and Rollins and Reigns became a six-man. Then it became a 12-man. Check out my SmackDown review. I really went into depth as far as what it should have what should have happened. Go to wrestling.com. Check out my SmackDown review. I think that was a bad idea. That could have been a big, big, big money match that should have been saved for TLC. Go and check my feelings on that at wrestling.com at the SmackDown weekend review, the latest one. Impact Wrestling, again, check out my Impact Wrestling weekend review on wrestling.com. We got to see Curry, man, so that was great. The Ace and Nate funeral was funny, and the Team Rude defeating Team Angle, and then the Turkey Feast. As far as ROH is concerned, great matches. Again, Roderick Strong defeating Davey Richards. Speaking of Davey Richards, we saw the last. We're seeing the last of the American Wolves on ROH as they debuted on NXT as the American Pit Bulls. And so, check out their work on NXT on YouTube, and they looked great, of course. Mark Briscoe and Michael Elgin led to a no contest, and Adam Cole defeated Jimmy Jacobs. Jimmy Jacobs won a series of he won 3 out of 5 matches to get his job back, and then Adam Cole he got a championship match in Michigan, in his home state.
Michigan.
They were in Dearborn in Michigan. In Dearborn. And Jimmy Jacobs, he fell a little short, but it was a great match. All right, we got like a few minutes left. Real quick, Derek, give me your best 3 minutes of yes or no, should the titles be unified?
Wow, 3 minutes. No, the titles should not be unified. I mean, that kind of drives me crazy. I see why the WWE is doing that, because it creates an emotion among the two belts. What else do they have to offer? They really don't have anything else to offer. Why would you put the two together? You got the WCW, I'm sorry, the World Championship that goes back to the Frank Gotch, goes back to Ed Strangler Lewis. And then you've got the WWE Championship that goes back to Hulk Hogan, Buddy Rogers. No, don't do this. Are you crazy? Are you kidding me? To unify it, it just kind of seems like a debacle. You've got nothing else to do, so this is the only reason you want to put the two together. I understand it. I don't really think it's that great for business. I understand what they're doing. I understand you got the Randy Orton, you got the John Cena, the two hottest things going right now. The only reason that Randy Orton is the hottest thing to go right now is because the WWE is telling you, this is the best guy we have. But you've got John Cena. I'm not a big John Cena fan, but you've got John Cena to kind of let's go John Cena, okay? I will say it. I want John Cena to win. I don't want to see Randy Orton win. I want to if the titles are going to be unified, I can see John Cena taking the title and making it work. Randy Orton, no, not so much, not at all. They're going to unify. They've done this before in the past. They've done this. I mean, not between the two titles that are in question right now, but it's a cheap attempt to make a pay-per-view in December. We got the Royal Rumble coming up in January. You gave me 3 minutes. I gave you about 5 seconds. What do you think, Chris Featherstone? What do you think?
All right, here's my take on it. I've got 5 names for you, real quick. Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes.
No.
Hold on. Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler, Biggie Langston, Dean Ambrose.
No.
None of them people will become WWE champion. Probably ever. Probably ever.
That's
and,
a shame.
And, however, will they become, is there a chance they become world heavyweight champion? Yes. Because the World Heavyweight Championship has been more of a build, more of a push and uprising babyface or a uprising mid-carder to become World Heavyweight Championship status. Now, Sandow, we won't see him be champion, WWE champion, no. And anyone that I just said, those are just five out of a bunch of other mid-carders that would have had an opportunity to become a champion. And the World Heavyweight Champion, the only thing that it needs is its prestige back. John Cena winning the championship brought that prestige back. Now, since you only have one champion, a unified champion, you're not going to see anyone past John Cena, Randy Orton, CM Punk, maybe Daniel Bryan, and that's it. I mean, that's really it. You're going to see an exchange of three to four people that's going to keep the World Heavyweight Championship, and that's going to just basically give no opportunity for no opportunity for a rising mid-card star to become champion. I think it's ridiculous. First of all, you have it on a minor pay-per-view. You have it on TLC. Now, when Jericho won the Unified titles, it was in a December pay-per-view as well. I understand it was at Vengeance, I believe. It was just it was Armageddon usually, but I think that year it was Vengeance, if I'm not mistaken. It was a minor pay-per-view, I understand. But you just can't do that now. You just can't do that. It's not a good idea, and I really think we're going to see a screwy finish because there's so many pay-per-views within each other that you just – I mean, they're just using this as a way to sell tickets. Triple H is going to be a screw job finish. Hopefully it leads to a Cena heel turn. That would be so great, but we'll see where it goes. So absolutely not. I think it's a horrible idea. I think this is a Bleacher Report article waiting to happen. So check it out on Bleacher Report. I really think I'm going to delve in it more on Bleacher Report and write an article about it. Thank you so much for continuing to support Crave Wrestling. Numbers are continuing to grow and increase. CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Send us your inquiries. Crave Wrestling at Twitter, at Crave Wrestling, Crave Wrestling on Facebook, Crave Wrestling, Crave Wrestling, Crave Wrestling. Again, special shout out. Check out wearewrestling.net. Great peoples over there. Mondays and Wednesday shows at 11 p.m. if I'm not mistaken. Check out their shows there. And we're going to continue to have so much fun building up to the New Year's episode. A recap of the Flavor of the Weeks. Stay tuned in the coming weeks for that. And, of course, we will continue to build for show number 100. 12 more shows to go. So that's 3 months. Check us out. We will be celebrating our 2-year anniversary in April. And we also have our 100th anniversary, our 100th episode. We will just continue to have fantastic shows. And until next week, I really appreciate it so much, the fan support and all the support that we're getting the past 88 episodes. Derek and I cannot do it without you. So appreciative. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.